Alma chapter 46. Again, before we begin this chapter, we need to continue to try and keep our minds clear about the story of the Book of Mormon, meaning what is trying to be told to us here. And to understand the atmosphere, we really need to understand that these people were in a time of degeneration. They have liked to look to men. They begin to, in this chapter and in the last, they begin to talk about church, church, church. They're more focused on church than God. We saw that in the last chapter too. Their feelings are distorted or being mixed up. They mean they're not single to Christ. And we saw this with Alma. Many want to believe that Alma is the great leader in the Book of Mormon. He is not. He is he becomes the first of the leaders who we're seeing where the people want men to be their leaders and to look to them. And one place we see that most clearly in the last chapter was that how after he went off into the wilderness, then the people wanted to put him up on a pedestal and say that he'd been taken to the Lord and he was like Moses and all that. And that wasn't the Lord saying that. That wasn't the Helaman and the next prophet saying that. It was the people. See, the people wanted to glorify men, and it's there to show us the state of these people. It is like the people after Joseph Smith, that the time of Alma is very much like the time of Brigham Young, when people wanted this strong, powerful leader, and they wanted the prophets to be chosen by the administrative ways of the church of men, and so they organized their church after men instead of having it being after God, where each man singly looked to Christ. And let us understand that clearly. This is the state of the church and of men at that time. The church was already into a degenerative state where it was where men were looking to men, and they were glorying in the power of the church and worrying about the church, not worrying about men and not worrying about people coming under Christ. And you will notice throughout these chapters there will be less and less discussion of Christ. Instead, there's just the general idea, well, let's pray to God and let's have him support us in our wars. And that's why we don't have, in these coming chapters and through this time leading up to Christ, we do not have the mention of Christ, because they're degenerating. And now they'll degenerate right up to his time, just as today. Where are we today? If we follow this, we will see that Alma is equal to Brigham Young, and he was that kind of leader. And that's where we're at. And then we begin to have men in charge, and men who think that it's men in charge. And again, with Alma, he began to say it's his commandments, not the Lord's commandments. And these are things that are said. And these are it's extremely important to understand that. But what when we relate it to ourselves, if we were studying the Book of Mormon's state or the degeneration of man up to the time of Christ, where are we? Well, we've been told. President Benson has told us that we are right up at the time. We're in at the time before Christ came. We're talking about the time during Nephi, before he came, and what went on, and those are the days that we're entering, and that's the time we should be reading about. But the point is, the Book of Mormon in these areas are trying to show, or is there to talk to us about our degeneration. It is not here to uphold us. And again, study this with that in mind. Well, in the first five verses of this chapter, it explains a great division begins in the church. And what was the great division over? It was over those who desired power and position. They wanted to have power and positions. And note that these people came because they were the priests and teachers of the church. They wanted that power and position. And so that's what they desired. And they chose. Now, and understand that they wanted men in charge, but see, they'd already decided they liked men like Alma, who were men who controlled themselves, and they wanted the church to be controlled that way. Now, notice what Amalickiah is, so they choose as their leader, these men, they choose a man named Amalickiah, and what is he like? Well, he's a man that has great and flattering words and says he should be king. But what does he? How does he use flattering words? He talks, remember in the days of Messiah, how wonderful the days of Messiah were, and let's return to those days. And if we go back to them days where we have a king who rules us according to God, and that's what they said. They claim to be members of the church and so forth. Then we will have great prosperity and everything will work out well. So he just that's his flattering words. He talks about the time of a King Messiah and King Benjamin and things like that. And that's not the and so we need to return to that, because see, he recognizes the degeneration also, but he's trying to use that to his advantage to get power and glory. And then it says that that Helaman and his brethren were the high priests over the church. Again, what is the high priest? They are those who would receive the Spirit, and then they receive the Spirit, and they pass it on to the people, encouraging them to receive the Spirit. But see, we're into a state where the church themselves are not receiving the Spirit, and they're starting to need this. They can listen to men, and they can look to men, and so they start to need to have these men actually functioning as intermediaries. And that's why Malachi and his followers can have so much success, because that's what the people want. They want men in charge, even as today, where men have taken complete charge of everything, and the people want that because it's easier. Because obviously, to gain favor and to get more power, men are always going to reduce the standard, and that's what was going on here. Well, notice in verse 7 it says they had forgot that the Lord had delivered them from the Lamanites. Do we believe the Lord delivered us from the Nazis and the Japanese? Do we believe any of these things? No, we've forgotten the Lord in all these wars that we have had throughout the last 100 years. Well, notice then it says that the Malachiites, or the followers of Malachi, want. They want to destroy the church and liberty of the land. And notice that these two things go hand in hand. Now, the people are degenerating, and we're far worse degenerated than them, but as they degenerate, what are they back to? They're back to the basics, freedom and liberty. That was what the war in heaven was over. It was over having freedom or force or control. See, they're back to that, and they're at least back to that basic thing that all men know in their heart, that righteous people believe in liberty and freedom. And so, again, being a Christian and being a freedom lover or freedom fighter go hand in hand. They must go. Well, obviously, we've degenerated way below that today, because we've even began to say that those freedom fighters, they're the weirdos, and they're the ones that ought to be thrown in jail, and they're the ones that are causing all the problems, and they're protesters and so on like this. And I'm not talking about the liberal people, I'm talking about those who stand up for the Constitution. And these are the things, so we have degenerated far past this, but right now, so we're in the state, we should study that where they have just dropped back to upholding freedom. And that's the basic law of the Lord. When you go below that, now you have no call upon the Lord, because again, he will always uphold and support you in your freedom and your desire to stand up, have freedom for your families and your right to worship and so forth. And so then what Moroni does is he's angry at these followers of Malachi, and so he goes and he raises a title of liberty, and he goes throughout the land rallying the Christians. Okay, and now notice again, we're told that the followers of Christ, or the true members of his church, as they want to say here, are called Christians. And so he said, but notice that he rallies the Christians to liberty, because they go hand in hand again. They're one and the same. As you read this chapter, you'll see they could not differentiate the difference. If you said you was a Christian, then you was also for freedom, and vice versa. Because why? Because you're fighting the war in heaven, and Christ stood up for freedom, and we said, yes, we're with him. We'll follow him in this war. So that was one and the same. It became the basis of the beginning discussion for discussing how the plan of salvation works and why we follow Christ, and it's our free choice. And we can go on and discussing it, but it's a, It's a requirement that we believe in freedom. And not only why do we believe in freedom? When we believe in freedom, we have to believe that Christ has the power to take care of all the situations where we've given a man his freedom, and he then uses that to take advantage of us. And that requires great faith in Christ. And so everything comes back to this freedom. Like, we could talk on that a great deal, but these people had came to that point, and that's where they were. But that's all they were, was they were in that last vestige of having the power of God with them, where it all centered on freedom. And again, we will point out, though, that you're to be called Christian. You're not to be called Mormon, Lutheran, Baptist, or anything else. If you're not, then if you don't not call that, you are not a follower of Christ. And again, if you have any following of Christ, you will believe in freedom. If you do not feel that as being one and the same, you do not know Christ, and you have not even began to follow Him, because then that also means you've rejected your claim to follow Him in the pre-existence, which would carry on into this day, because the war in heaven is still going on. Well, Moroni wants the people to covenant to uphold freedom. And he calls that their rights, and the right to worship God and religion, and he just wants a covenant of freedom. And notice that God will bless that, meaning He blesses those who will support freedom. Meaning that is, again, it's an integral part of God and religion, and it is based on freedom. Well, also, we notice in verse 21, it begins to say that the idea of forsaking God is equal to forsaking freedom, or it equates these two. And again, a Christian, it says, is a freedom lover. I mean, we get this. It's very important in this chapter to read this and feel the spirit of it. That is, it is equating these two things hand in hand. And again, if you believe in the war in heaven, you should have already believed that. And any man who follows Christ and does believe in freedom will feel that being hand in hand. So then in verses 22 through 27, it's just talking about Moroni going throughout the land and gathering all together all the people who were desirous to maintain their liberty, because they could see that Malachi, being against the church, was also against the government, was against the whole concept of freedom, and wanted men to be over other men. And I repeat, to apply that today, and not just see it in our government, but see it in the churches, that the leaders of the churches want to be over the people and tell them what to do. They're not desirous to just send them unto Christ. Well, this goes throughout the land, and the people begin to rally to their desires for freedom. As they do that, there begins to be a great number of them, and Malachi sees that he's not gathering all the people around him. So therefore, he decides to leave with his people and to actually go join the Lamanites. But this is only supposed, meaning that Moroni supposes that. So he goes out there to cut them off, and he cuts them off and takes the greatest portion of all those that were following Malachi. But Malachi and others get away. Now, he goes out to cut them off because he's the one that says, yes, they're going to join the Lamanites. We've got to keep them from strengthening the Lamanites or even going to stir the Lamanites up to come against us. Now, this is really important because, again, that is not the way. That is not the perfect way of the Lord. We begin to see their degeneration even in this. Moroni is doing what he thinks is best, but he is not consulting with the ways of the Lord. Again, this is the same ways as when they said that the people of Limhi were not allowed to leave, or the Lamanites did not want to allow the people of Ammon to leave, and so on and so on. You see that we don't put people into captivity. If a people want to leave, then they're free to leave. But again, we see that when we're not full followers of Christ, we begin to have some, again, degenerative practices amongst us. And so Moroni brings them back and says, okay, now I want you to take an oath to covenant to support the government, a free government, not for the government, a free government. And anyone that wouldn't do this was put to death. Well, again, now we're starting to see this is something we've seen before. This is the charge against First Nephi. And that is the charge that we'll see is allowable in Scripture, that the usurpation and of power and authority is, just the idea of usurping power and authority, the punishment for it is death. And that's what we learn there. Well, then it says that, that based on that, peace is established in the land, and that order is put into the church. And now again, we have to ask, why was order put into the church? And we begin to see that they're concerned more. Again, it didn't say that all the members were turned to Christ or that the people turned to their Lord. They said order was put in the church. And we begin to get that feeling again that they're worrying more about organizations and so forth than they are being concerned with having just faith in Jesus Christ. And then this is more pointed out in verse 40, because they said that the only problems they really had was there began to be some fevers in the land that were taking some lives. But it says here in verse 40 that there hadn't had many fevers because the Lord had supplied herbs that took care of all the diseases. Now, why would we say that's degenerative? Because again, those who follow the Lord heal by faith. And they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He can heal them, He can protect them from their enemies and their disease and everything. But we see that, no, these people needed something more tangible, something more real that they could put their hands on, meaning they needed herbs. Again, we can see that that's far above today, because we've degenerated down to needing actual physical men to bring forth the herbs or the medicine or whatever they have to have them bring forth, because we can have faith in men. And that's how far we've degenerated today. But nonetheless, they've degenerated from faith to herbs. And again, we have to continue to stress, it's pointing out to us that the people are not running under the full power or full belief, having strong faith in Christ. Even though it says in 40 that they believe that many died in faith of Christ, so that they suppose that they are now happy. See, it's not based on that strong faith of when we saw the people of Ammon who were killed by their brethren, how they knew. They said yes, and we know that these men were righteous, and they had faith in Jesus Christ, and they've been accepted by Him into heaven. And same with the people who were slaughtered in the city of Ammonihah. But that's not the same thing here. The people are not running in, do not have their faith in Jesus Christ, although they do have some faith in the church, or they have a belief in God, they have a belief in Christ, and they will worship Him to a degree that that men are put in there as intermediaries, and they do have that physical form of seeing a structured church and so forth. These are the kind of things they need. And again, I want to repeat that we are 100 years, we have 100 more years of degeneration from the time that we were exactly like this time in the Book of Mormon. It needed to be stressed that Mormon picked the things out to talk to us. Mormon picked he saw our time. He saw our time from Joseph Smith all the way up to us. And this Book of Mormon is that story, and it's that story up to the time of Christ. And if you notice, this book ends, the Book of Mormon ends after the time of Christ. Then there is just a short time. There's just very little more in the Book of Mormon that explains that. And then all of a sudden, Moroni sees that no one listened to the Book of Mormon. So then he adds on more. And we'll stress that later. But understand that all this whole book is just to describe clearly to us our history from the time of Joseph Smith, or to show us all the things to be aware of in our history from the time of Joseph Smith, or the time of the coming of the Book of Mormon, more importantly, until the second coming of Jesus Christ.